Heard one, heard two, it's time to go. We come through on fourth and inches and won't stop until we score. Had the game ahead locked and put it in the figure four. We ain't worried about a hater, baby, we just build and grow. The Joe and Joey show, football, b-ball fights, pick a topic. Like Khabib on his run, yeah, they tried but couldn't stop us. Watch us, yeah, we rockin', hot as Puerto Rico, we the wave. Go on and place your bets, check the over-under, we the fade. Yeah. It's no debate, we the greatest, but we debating your favorites greater. Raise our points of discussion, then we question. Feeling like Michael Jordan with the Bulls. Feeling like I'm about to rage, KG with the Timberwolves. I'm getting pulled in all kind of directions. To the game, yeah, you know that that's the best one. So just watch or just listen to the guys. Tune in to the show, Joe and Joey on the ride.
Welcome back to the Joe and Joey Show, guys. We have an amazing episode today. But before we get started, Joe and I just wanted to say thank you so much for 3,000 Instagram followers and 14,000 YouTube subscribers. We're growing every day, and it's all because of you guys. So thank you so much for the support. We really appreciate it. Now, for the episode today, Joe and I are going to be talking about the NFL draft. We're going to be ranking our top five quarterbacks in the draft. We're also going to be predicting the first 10 picks of the draft and what these teams should be doing with these picks. Additionally, we're also going to be discussing the NFL banning the hip drop tackle and the NFL completely changing the kickoff rules. What is going on? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing for the league? Let's get right into it. Podcast episode 40. Who's your number one quarterback? Tell me.
I'm going to switch it up. And I'm not just saying that because I'm trying to be contrarian or different, but when I look at Caleb Williams, I see, you know, he's not the biggest guy. He's not the most athletic guy. He has a great arm. Emotionally, little unstable to me, mm-hmm. which is kind of concerning, especially in the NFL. I think he reminds me of, not reminds me of, but, you know, kind of like Baker and Kyler. They had the same coach, Lincoln Riley. So he played in a favorable offense to quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I obviously could be completely wrong, but I just think there's other guys in this class that have better physical tools, like a Drake May or like a Jaden Daniels, that could be a little more successful. So I think, honestly, I think one of those two is going to be my number one.
But who's your number one right now? If we're doing an NFL draft order, right? Who's your number one guy?
I would probably go with Jaden Daniels. And I picked C.J. Stroud first last year.
Yep.
I'm going to go Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, as my number one.
All right, so your number one guy is Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
Because why is he your number one guy?
I just think he can do everything. You know, and obviously the stats say that. I think he's got a good IQ. He's experienced. He doesn't get rattled. Can make all the throws. I just think he's more polished and he's ready to go. I think he's going to have early success in the NFL. I think Jaden Daniels is my number one for sure.
All right. If we're doing an NFL draft order, your number one pick is Jaden Daniels. My number one pick is going to be Caleb Williams. I don't think there's a debate here at all. He's got the best arm in the draft. He's got the best pocket awareness in the entire draft. He's the best thrower on the run. I think he's the most accurate quarterback in the class. He runs a 4.56 40. He's got he can change arm angles like Mahomes. Now I know why all the draft experts are comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, because if you look at the tape, he's great outside the pocket, and Mahomes is great outside the pocket. So Caleb Williams, to me, is not even close. If you watch the tape, he's the best quarterback in the class. I would say the weaknesses that he possesses is he's 6 foot, 6'1". He's on the smaller side a little bit.
Size.
Yep. And he plays hero ball, but I attribute that just to his circumstance last year. He played with zero defense. He had no defense, so he's trying to make all these like crazy plays. And, you know, he's a little fruity. He's got the pink nails, and he claps back at the fans. But, I mean, that's really the only weaknesses. And I don't even care about that. If this guy, you know, comes in and he's Hall of Fame quarterback, Pro Bowl quarterback. I mean, he's the best quarterback in the class, in my opinion.
Okay.
So I got Caleb at one. You got Jaden at one. My number two guy is Drake May. And I'm picking Drake May because this guy, you watch the tape, he reminds me of Josh Allen. Drake May, 6'4", 230, big quarterback, rocket arm. Him and Caleb Williams have the best arms in the class. It's not even close. And Joe Milton, but he's not considered in the first round. But guys in the first round, it's Caleb and Drake May. I mean, the guy's got everything, man. He can run, crazy arm strength, great outside the pocket. The only knock on Drake May is that he makes one or two decisions every single game where it's like, bro, what the hell? It's like just like Josh Allen. Yep. Drake May is just like Josh Allen. You'll get incredible talent. I mean, this guy's got the upside that Caleb's got, honestly. Maybe a little bit less of a ceiling, but his upside's insane. Can make every single throw. Crazy arm. It's just one or two like decisions like every game. Like he has a turnover like every game. You go back, it's like if it's not a pick, it's a fumble. And you know, that's the only knock I have on him, but he's my number two guy in the draft. So who's your number two guy?
I like it. Number two for me is also going to be Drake May. I know I'm probably going to get, you know, canceled on the internet for having Caleb Williams at three, but I think Drake May, exactly everything you said. The upside's there, the size, you know, he looks the part.
Yep.
He looks how you want your 2024 quarterback to look. Rocket arm, all that stuff, can run. And you know, the knock I have on Caleb Williams is, you know, the size. And I think, I don't want to say people overreact to his skill because obviously he's really skilled, but I think the conference he played in the Pac-12, they don't play any defense in that conference. Everybody knows that.
The ACC? He's North Carolina.
Drake, yeah. Man. No, I'm talking about Caleb Williams.
Oh, Caleb, yeah.
Yeah, but that's, so I don't necessarily think, and I obviously I could be wrong, but I don't think Caleb Williams is, you know, high-powered offense and high-scoring games is going to translate into the NFL. But with Drake May, I think if he's in the right situation, so if he goes to Washington, for example, you know, staying kind of close to North Carolina, where, you know, that where he's familiar, I think it could be good. Honestly, I think Drake May's too. I think a better fit, though, for Washington at two would be Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. Because he's from Washington, D.C. He'd be playing at home. Obviously, way more motivation there, going back to your hometown team.
I just think Caleb is going to succeed, especially what the Bears did in the offseason. Keenan Allen, D.J. Moore, DeAndre Swift, plethora of running backs there, great tight end, Cole Kmet. You know, the defense is going to be better. And if, you know, they drafted a rookie last year, Darnell Wright, right tackle. Mm-hmm. If the Bears, because they have the first and the ninth pick, so with the ninth pick, if they draft a tackle there, bolster that offensive line, you already got great weapons there. I don't see how this guy can't succeed, Caleb Williams. I mean, you watch the tape. This guy is better than Justin Fields at everything. He's better than Fields at everything. He's got a better arm. He's got better pocket presence, can read a defense better. This guy is crazy accurate outside the pocket. There was that one throw versus Nevada where, bro, the guy's like running, he's falling out of bounds, and he threw a dime like on the sideline, hit the guy right there. I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes-esque, so I see the comparison there. And I don't know how this guy can fail with that situation. I mean, Justin Fields went like 7-8 or 7-9 last year, and I mean, Caleb is better than Fields in my opinion, so...
Like better right now, or you think?
I think he's better right now, honestly.
He's gonna have the better career long term.
Both, honestly. Both? I think Caleb's better right now, and he's gonna have the better career because the guy can do everything, man. You know, if you get a great offensive coordinator in there that can, you know, calm him down and tell him not to do all that hero ball crazy stuff, then I think this guy's gonna be Hall of Famer, bro. I mean, he's got everything you could ask for in a quarterback. He doesn't have a weakness, bro. The only thing about him is his attitude. Like, you know, a lot of people on the internet are like roasting him for, like, you know, the pink nails and the pink phone, and But that stuff doesn't matter as long as he produces on the field. And
bro, crying and on the field, in the stands. I mean,
passionate, bro. I mean, Tom Brady's cried before, so.
I've never seen Tom Brady cry in the stands like that in his mom's arms. To me, it's a little concerning. I'm not sitting up here saying he's gonna be like a bust or anything.
He's fruity. He's a little fruity guy.
And like you said, if he wins games, if he's about business, that's fine. But
did you see the clapback he gave the fans for the phone? I'm gonna play this. Watch this. So this is the little clapback he did. Let me see. Where is that? This is a little clapback. Listen to this. About the phone and everything. Let's see. This plays.
Well, it's been a long week for you. Lucky you got me, though. Let's see what that phone was. What the phone was. Let's see what color the phone is.
Wallet white.
The wallet's white.
Phone is pink. Face is clear.
What the fingernails look like?
Nails are clear. Lips are pink. Your girl love them.
So he's doing a little clap back to the fans there.
To me, I don't like that shit, man. Yeah. To me, like, it reminds me of Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel wasn't fruity like that, but...
But Johnny Manziel don't have near the talent this kid has, bro.
I mean, Johnny Manziel coming out at Texas A&M was... I mean, he did everything. He beat Alabama. He ran for 100 yards, threw for 500 yards. Like,
yeah, but, bro, you turn on the tape and you know what's what. Like, you watch this kid throw the ball and, bro, this guy's like the best prospect I've ever seen, bro. Honestly, he's better. He's a better prospect to me than Trevor Lawrence was coming out of college. This kid is fucking incredible, bro. It's just shit like that. Like that goofy shit. And I mean, who knows if he can break easy mentally, but
I think he will. And that's why I'm not taking him one.
But even with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet, they get more linemen for him. Solid defense, average 15, top 15 defense. Like Justin Fields couldn't read a defense, bro. Like he could run the ball, but he can't read a defense. So
yeah, and I think it's damn near impossible to succeed in Chicago. Just the way, I mean, I think the general manager is good, the new one that they have. But
imagine a rookie quarterback coming into a situation like that. I think the only other situation that's better than that as a rookie is Minnesota. With Hockenson, Jefferson, Addison, I think that's better. Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
That's the only situation that's better than Chicago as a rookie. The Commanders don't have a better situation. New England damn near don't have a better situation. So, if you're a rookie, you either want to go to Minnesota or Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, the talent's there for Caleb Williams. But for me, like, if I'm thinking for, like, the next 10, 15 years, I don't know if I want to go that route with him. I think he's going to be great for, 8, 9 years. But I think there's some guys like Drake May and possibly Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels is the most ready now. Mm-hmm. But I think like going with Drake May, you might have a guy for the next 15, 20 years.
So you got Drake May at 2. You got Daniels 1, May 2.
Caleb 3.
And Caleb's your 3rd. Yep. Okay, so mine is Caleb 1, Drake 2. I'm going Michael Penix number 3. Reason I'm going Penix at number 3, you turn the tape on. He's got a better arm than Jaden Daniels does. He's got more arm strength. I think he's got more accuracy than Jaden Daniels. And, bro, he ran a 4.5, bro, 40.
Yep.
And I don't know why this guy is getting so much hate. He'll probably be like a mid to late first round pick, but I think Michael Penix is better than Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. Just watch the tape, bro. This guy he played great competition all year long.
Yep.
Struggled against Michigan, but I mean, that wasn't because of J.J. McCarthy. That's because the defense balled out. And, you're playing against the best head coach in football besides Nick Saban and Harbaugh.
Yeah, Harbaugh went and beat Saban this year.
The Michigan defense was great. They held Alabama to like 20 points. What I mean? So that was a great defense. I will say Michael Penix, he does struggle a lot against the blitz. And that's what got to him in the Michigan game, in the national championship game. But attributes-wise, I mean, he's 6'3", so he's got the size, he's got the arm, he's got the accuracy, and he can run. So this guy can do everything. I mean, if this guy has a clean pocket, I mean, this kid can make every throw. He's got a better arm than Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. I would say he's got the third best arm in the class behind Caleb and Drake May. So I got Penix at three.
I like it. Yeah, I got Caleb at three. I like Jaden Daniels because I think, you know, he played in the SEC West. You know, he ran the gauntlet. Alabama, you know, played Florida State. I think, and he put up those massive numbers against the best talent.
But Heisman doesn't necessarily translate to you're going to be a good quarterback. We've seen so many Heisman Trophy winners that are busts. I mean, Johnny Manziel, bust. Baker Mayfield was not worth the number one pick. I mean, you could have got Baker and, like, he's probably like a third round pick. He's not the number one overall pick.
First overall pick, right?
I mean, is Kyler, he won the Heisman, is he the number one overall pick? I don't think so from what we've seen.
Well, that's exactly my point, is Kyler and Baker played for this guy. They played for Lincoln Riley. Caleb Williams played for Lincoln Riley. Caleb Williams, you know, he took Spencer Rattler's job. Spencer Rattler was favored to win the Heisman that year.
I just think Caleb Williams, you watch the tape, I think his tape is better than Baker's and Kyler.
Yeah, that's fair to say. He's more talented.
I do. He's more talented because this guy can make every throw. I don't know if Baker can make every throw. I think Kyler can make every throw.
When he's healthy. But
Caleb's bigger, though.
Yep.
And he's got, you know, he can throw the ball at, like, different arm angles like Mahomes. There's just – and his pocket awareness is insane, bro. Like, keeps his eyes down the field, and he can scramble. He's elusive, bro. I mean, the kid's got no weakness, bro. If you talk about attributes-wise, he's got no weakness, Caleb.
Yeah. I mean, Caleb, like I said, I think, you know, he has the talent. But mentally, I don't know. Could be wrong. But
so you were saying, we got the Caleb, you know, he's a little fruity mentally. We don't know where he's going to be. But you had Daniels 1, right?
Yep.
May 2, Caleb 3, and then who's your fourth guy, Penix or JJ?
It's tough. I'm going to go Penix.
Penix, yep.
I know a lot of people, well, maybe not a lot of people, but a lot of GMs, I'm sure, are looking at the injury history, which is really concerning.
Yep.
You know, a fifth or a six-year senior, you know, this past year.
He's still 23, though, still young.
Yeah, he's young.
I mean, I looked his age up. He's only a year older than Caleb.
Yeah, quite a few injuries, major injuries. That's concerning. Puts himself in harm's way. Tries to do too much. Tries to play hero ball. But the arm strength is there. I think he has the best deep ball in this class, you know, as far as accuracy and putting some touch on it.
He's got a nice arm, bro. Penix.
Yeah.
Nice
Penix, arm. And he, you know, he flicks his wrist and that ball, it zips. And he's got a nice spiral.
Yep.
But, you know, I think Penix has to go into the right situation. I think some of these guys can just go to any team like a Drake May and just build the franchise around him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Penix, like you said, he struggled against the blitz. You know, I put a bunch of money on him in that national championship game. He played horrible. But, you know, I don't think Penix is on the same tier as, you know, maybe those top two or three guys. But I think this is one of the deepest years for quarterback, and I think Penix will be, you know, a franchise quarterback for a team. So I like him at four.
I mean, the kid balled out in every single game except the national championship last year.
Yep.
I mean, he balled out against Oregon twice, beat Oregon twice. He beat Texas. I mean, he's got good numbers against good teams. Unfortunately, you know, the Michigan thing happened.
Yep.
And I feel like if he would have won that game, his stock would be where J.J. McCarthy's stock is right now. I mean, if you watch the tape, he's average to good at everything. He's not really bad at anything, but I feel like he doesn't have the ceiling, right? Because he doesn't have the arm talent that the rest of these quarterbacks have.
Right.
But, you know, he's mobile. He's good. He reminds me of like a Baker Mayfield like that, you know?
Yep.
You're going to get a quarterback that's like good at everything, but great at nothing.
Yep.
So I feel like the ceiling's not really there. He doesn't turn the ball over, which I think is his best attribute. McCarthy only had like four picks last year. So he's a good decision maker. I would say that's his best strength. He's got good athleticism, but he's my number five guy. My number four guy is Jaden Daniels. And my concern with him is he's so skinny, man.
Yep.
He's like 6'4", 190 pounds, soaking wet. The kid is skinny. He's got a Tua problem. He doesn't slide. He doesn't know how to slide. He takes big freaking shots.
Yep.
Like, he won't try to slide. He'll try to, you know, like Lamar Jackson did his first couple of years. He'll just try to be a football player and, like, run for the first down or whatever. But that's how RG3 got fucked up in the NFL.
Yep.
So he needs to learn how to slide because he's skinny, man. He's skinnier than Lamar was coming out. I mean, this guy's 190 soaking wet. He's got the height, 6'4". He's the most athletic guy in the class, the fastest guy in the class.
That's why I like him.
He's got good breakaway speed. His arm is not that great, though. He's got good touch on the deep ball, but he doesn't have velocity. Like, he doesn't have, like, a bazooka, like a cannon. Like, he doesn't have the arm that Caleb, May, and Penix has.
Right.
He doesn't have that arm. He's very good at throwing the deep ball. Like, he's got good touch throwing it. But he can't throw the ball like 60 yards. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's got to be like a timing route. Like, he can get it there and he'll be accurate with it. But he's not going to be a guy where, like, he's going to, you know, have an off script play like Caleb would and throw the ball like 60 yards down the field. He can't do that. He's underthrown a lot of guys in college. You know, granted, he has two first round wide receivers on his team.
Right.
That are going in the first round this year. One of them, a lot of the experts think he's the best wide receiver in the draft. Neighbors, guy ran like a 4.3 40 in the combine the other day. And then Thomas, he's going to go at the mid to end of the first round.
Yeah.
He's like the fourth or fifth best receiver. So the guy had two top five receivers. You know, he had a great offensive line. But he did struggle versus Florida State in the first game of the year, and Florida State beat the shit out of LSU in, like, the first game of the year.
They did.
And Florida State got wrecked by Georgia. I mean, if they had Jordan Travis or didn't, Georgia would have wrecked them either way.
I don't know about that, man, because Florida State, they didn't have any of their players in that game. They all, once they knew they were out of the
We know the what it is, SEC, ACC, we know what it is, though.
I don't know. That Florida State team was nasty, man. They got screwed.
They did, but going back to Daniels, though, I have that concern where he needs to learn how to slide, protect himself. He needs to put on like 20 pounds. The kid is so skinny, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that's
skinny body, man. And
that's doable.
And he doesn't have a great arm. Like, he's got a good arm, but it's not great.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So
I like him at one because I like that you brought up Lamar Jackson. He's a football player, and he has Lamar Jackson numbers.
He doesn't have the
speed. He
doesn't have, yeah, let's put that in perspective. He's the most athletic quarterback in this class. He don't have near the athleticism that Lamar has.
No.
I mean, the kid's fast in a straight line, but he's not a special runner like Lamar.
No, nobody's a special runner like Lamar except for Michael Vick.
You're not getting Lamar Jackson with Jaden Daniels. I'll tell
no,
you that.
you'll probably never get another Lamar.
Probably get like a 4.4 guy. Try to look up his 40. They don't have it, but you're probably getting like a 4.4 guy.
I like his football IQ. Played for one of the best quarterback coaches in college, Brian Kelly. You know, used to coach at Notre Dame. Now he's at LSU. Has the size. I just like that he's a football player.
He's got the height. He doesn't have the girth that you want.
Yeah, but that's
skinny.
He, you know, he can put on 10, 15, 20 pounds if he needs to. They'll juice him up, no problem.
But recapping my top five, I got Caleb 1, Drake May 2, Michael Penix 3, Jaden Daniels 4, and McCarthy 5. That's my top five.
Yeah, I got McCarthy at 5. I'm gonna go Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Caleb, Michael Penix, and McCarthy at 5.
I don't see it with McCarthy, though, man. People are hyping this kid up. And then, you know, Jim Harbaugh came out and said that was the best combine he's ever seen a quarterback throw. Yeah, right, dude. Like, I watched that combine. It was good, but it wasn't that good. Like, let's be real, you know? I mean, he was just hyping him up because that's his player.
That's his guy, yeah.
But
he brought a national championship to Michigan. Of course, Harbaugh's going to, you know, go to hell and back for him. I'm a little higher on McCarthy than other guys. I think, to me, he reminds me of Daniel Jones, but not as goofy.
I think Daniel Jones is more athletic than J.J. McCarthy, though.
Yeah.
He's a better runner, in my opinion. I mean, McCarthy's good outside the numbers, and you know, he's got some athleticism. He can scramble. Like, he's more athletic than, like, a Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
But his arm is, it's good. It's not great. His accuracy is good. It's not great. Like I was saying, the kid is average to good at everything. He's not really bad at anything. But he's not great at anything either. So it's like he doesn't have insane upside.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not taking him top five or top 10 like he's projected to go. I'd still spend a first round pick on him. If I'm like a team that's, you know, has a bridge quarterback in place with a good all around team, I'll take JJ McCarthy to learn a year or two and then step in. To me, he's, like I said, he's a Daniel Jones, but not as goofy. I think he's, you know, went to IMG Academy. You know, he's ready. Like, he's mature. He's beyond his years. Athletic, can run the ball, scramble for first downs, kind of improvise if he needed to. He didn't really have to at Michigan. But to me, he can, you know, he controls the line of scrimmage. He, you know, checking plays, audibles, stuff like that. So I think you're getting a solid starter.
I think he'll be better than Daniel Jones, though, in my opinion. He'll be better than Daniel Jones fucking sucks. He can't read a defense. He's not very accurate. I mean, he can run, but McCarthy, he can read a defense better than Daniel Jones, in my opinion. And if the kid gets drafted to Minnesota, where a lot of people think he's going to go, then he's already in a great situation to succeed with the best wide receiver, top three tight end.
Good line.
Jordan Addison, good line. I mean, Aaron Jones, running back. Yeah, I mean, kid's in a great situation.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think Minnesota has two picks, so I think they'd probably get another lineman to protect him, or maybe even another weapon. But I could see it happening with him. I'm a little higher on J.J. McCarthy than other people are. I think he's a humble kid. He's, you know, he's got his head on straight, and he can succeed in the NFL. Is he going to be, you know, a Pro Bowler? Is he going to lead you to a Super Bowl? Maybe not. But
yeah, I don't know.
If you put the right team around him, like Michigan did, I think you could have success with him.
I mean, he goes to Minnesota. He's got a good team around him already. Yeah. So, but recapping my top five, I got Caleb 1, Drake May 2, Penix 3, Daniels 4, and McCarthy 5.
Yep. I got Jaden Daniels at 1, Drake May 2, Caleb Williams 3, Penix at 4, and McCarthy at 5.
All right. So let's go through the draft, the first round, right? Let's go through the top 10. So this is what we think is going to happen, right? So let's project what we think is going to happen. Chicago Bears, first pick. I think they're taking Caleb Williams with the first pick.
Yeah.
What do you think? Caleb Williams?
I think they're going to go Caleb Williams. I'd like to see Caleb go at 2 to his hometown team.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Caleb Williams.
The Chicago Bears aren't going to fuck that up. There's no way. I mean, they're a poverty franchise. They're straight ass, the Chicago Bears. But if they don't take Caleb Williams here, the GM might as well pack his bags and go home because he's going to get fired.
They're going to take Caleb.
100%. Yeah. Number 2, the Commanders. So in Vegas, the odds are they keep changing back and forth between Drake May and Jaden Daniels. I think the Commanders are going to take Drake May. I just think he's got a little bit more upside than Jaden Daniels, has a better arm than Jaden Daniels, more upside. So I think they're going to take Drake May. What do you think?
I'm back and forth. I'm going to go with...
The odds switch every day in Vegas, so...
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
You know, you think about the Commander situation right now. Just brought in Dan Quinn as the head coach from Dallas. You know, probably going to be a smash mouth team, good defense, want to run the ball. Probably want a guy that's a little more aggressive and not scared, kind of a fearless type player. I think that's Jaden Daniels over Drake May. Drake May's a little, you know, cautious and protects himself a little bit better. I just think that the Washington Commanders have to try to make a splash here, and I think...
Do you think there's more risk, though, with Jaden Daniels, especially with the elbow thing coming out? So he's got lecranon bursitis in his elbow. So in your elbow, you have a bursa, which is a fluid sac that protects friction between the two bones, and, you know, it's like a cushion pad to protect your elbow, but his elbow's inflamed. He's got inflammation in the elbow, which can limit your range of motion, can cause pain in your throwing motion. So do you think maybe if it's super close between Drake May and Jaden Daniels, if they're going back and forth, you know, this guy's got a little bit more injury history as of late with Jaden Daniels, you think Commanders might say, you know what, let's just take Drake May since he's got a little bit less risk in that aspect?
Yeah, of course. That's definitely a possibility. And maybe that is what they do, honestly. Who knows? I'm not a doctor like you are, so I don't know how serious that is. But to me, if I'm the Commanders, you have to take somebody that's in win-now mode, that's mm-hmm. going to lay it all on the line. And honestly, I don't love the fit for Jaden Daniels in Washington, going to a defensive head coach that is not going to really, I guess, get him ready for, you know, the highest level at the NFL. But then again, C.J. Stroud went to DeMeco Ryans, a defensive head coach in Houston Texans last year, and was like almost the MVP of the league. So maybe that doesn't matter as much, but.
And the NYU chief of the Division of Sports Medicine came out, and he was saying that Jaden Daniels has olecranon bursitis, right, which is your elbow. The bursa is inflamed. And he basically said the doctor described the symptoms as swelling and, you know, pain can occur. And he says it can be treated with a cortisone injection or surgery that requires 2 to 3 weeks of downtime recovery. So it's really nothing, but, you know, they could take the sac out, the bursa out. But if not, give him a cortisone, maybe it'll go down in 2 to 3 weeks. And even Jaden Daniels, you know, he tweeted and said, my elbow's fine, stop the cap. You know, he had a pro day with it and he threw fine. A lot of people said he had one of the better pro days. That thing looks ugly, though.
I've never seen anything like that.
That bursa, that thing looks nasty.
But I mean, look at his stats this year, man. The Heisman Trophy. He had Lamar Jackson college numbers this year, rushing and passing.
Yep.
So to me, you have to go Jaden Daniels here. Honestly, the Commanders are in a good situation because they're going to get one of those three quarterbacks, and I think all three of them are going to be good.
Yep. So we both agree Caleb's going to go one. You think Commanders are taking Jaden. I think they're going to take May. And then whoever the Commanders don't take, New England's next.
New England's taking them.
So New England's either going to get May or Daniels.
Right.
For sure, 100%. We can agree on that.
Yep.
New England traded Mac Jones. They have Bailey Zappe. They have to draft a quarterback here. New head coach. The guy's not going to go into the season with Bailey Zappe at quarterback. There's
absolutely
no chance.
Not.
So we're consensus on that. So with the number 4 pick in the draft, the Arizona Cardinals have the 4th pick. Kyler Murray's coming back. I think they're taking... There's only 2 choices here, right? It's either Neighbors or Marvin Harrison. They traded away Marquise Brown to the Chiefs. So the Cardinals are either going to take Marvin Harrison or Malik Neighbors, and I think they're going to take Marvin Harrison here with the 4th pick.
Yeah, if we were in the NFL 10 years ago with the style of play they were playing back then, I'd say they're going to take Joe Alt out of Notre Dame, left tackle. But the way the game is played now, I think it is going to be Marvin Harrison.
They don't have any wide receivers. They traded their best guy away. So, I mean, this is... I think it has to be Marvin Harrison. If it's not Marvin Harrison, then they're probably going to take Malik Neighbors. And he just ran a 4.3 at his combine. So
it's impressive.
He's going up. But I think Marvin Harrison is just a generational talent. I think they have to pick him here.
Yeah, just the name alone, Marvin Harrison. And then you think of Marvin Harrison, a smaller, skinnier guy. His son, Marvin Harrison Jr., is 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
Looks like he has a good frame that he could, you know, put some muscle mass on. And we both watched the tape on Neighbors and Marvin Harrison. I think we both agreed that Harrison's a little bit polished, you know, a little bit better.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close, but, you know, if you're going to give me a guy that's 6 foot and a guy that's 6'4", I'm going to take the guy that's 6'4", honestly.
And the son of Marvin Harrison, who played, 10 years with Peyton Manning?
Yep.
So, yeah.
But Neighbors, man, the guy had a crazy pro day, man. Ran a 4.3 and's got like a 43-inch vertical. So, I mean, the guy's a freak athlete. So,
yeah, you can't go wrong with the LSU receiver.
Yeah,
ever.
Those guys are definitely the best 2 wide receivers in the draft. It's not close after that, so... All right, so we both think Arizona is going to take Marvin Harrison.
Yep.
So check this out. With the fifth pick, the Chargers have the fifth pick, right? A lot of people think that if the Chargers don't get Marvin Harrison, right, if he doesn't fall to them, that they're going to trade back. And that's exactly what I think is going to happen here. I think Harbaugh is going to, you know, he needs talent, right? He got rid of a lot of players. He's looking to build around Justin Herbert. So I think Harbaugh here is going to trade back, and I think the Vikings are going to jump up to the fifth spot, and I think Minnesota is going to take J.J. McCarthy here. That's what I see happening. What do you think? Do you think Harbaugh is going to – I mean, he's a smart head coach. Do you think he's going to stay with the fifth pick and take Neighbors or Harrison, or if Harrison – you know, gets taken by the Cardinals, do you think Harbaugh is going to trade and move back?
I think either way, well, I think it's how you said it. If Harrison's there, they're going to take Harrison. If not, they're going to trade that pick.
And you know why I think capital. You know why I think he's going to trade the pick? Because he got rid of the entire offense, right? He got rid of Keenan Allen, got rid of Austin Eckler, got rid of Mike Williams, Gerald Everett. The entire offense is gone, right?
Yep.
And this guy is looking to rebuild around Justin Herbert. I mean, the whole team's pretty much gone, right? Except for a couple key guys. So, I mean, that tells me he wants to rebuild. He wants picks, right?
Yep.
So if the generational wide receiver is not there for Justin Herbert, you know, trade the pick, get maybe two or three more first-round picks and build from there. I mean, I could definitely see that happen, especially with the way he's attacked free agency so far.
Yeah, I think he is going to trade the pick. Harbaugh's teams and his brother in Baltimore is the same exact way. They build their teams the same way. They want to play smash-mouth football. They want to have a big offensive line, nasty defense, and play old-school football. So I think you're going to see Justin Herbert, maybe not this year, but in the future, have really nice seasons because they're going to be a run-first team, which sounds crazy because they have Justin Herbert. But I think you're going to see a lot of play action with Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. And they are going to need that deep threat receiver. So if they can pull Marvin Harrison here, that would be huge for them. That'll be generational for an LA team. And they need that. They need star power. They're in Los Angeles. They have to have superstars. But
but that's what I see happening. So let's just, you know, that's a hypothetical, but let's just go with the order. So if the Chargers are on the clock at number five and they don't trade the pick and Arizona takes Harrison, then I think they take Neighbors here because they don't have a wide receiver. They traded their starting two wide receivers, their tight end. Quentin Johnson looks like a bust from last year, so I think they take Neighbors.
Yeah, I think they go a little bit different here. I think this is a good wide receiver draft class. I think there's other options later. Mm-hmm. I think they go Joe Alt here out of Notre Dame.
Okay.
Big Midwestern offensive lineman. Harbaugh likes those guys. I think that's the first piece that he can start a team with. They actually do have a good left tackle on the roster now, but they could slide him over to guard. He's a little smaller.
Okay. So I see him trading that pick. I don't see him staying at that pick. I think Harbaugh's a smart guy. He's going to trade back and get more pieces to build around Herbert and the entire team. So I think that pick's going to be McCarthy, which leads me to the number six pick, New York Giants. I think this pick, this is either a wide receiver or a lineman. They gave up the most sacks in the NFL last year, the Giants. But granted, their offensive line was like hurt the entire year last year. I don't think any of them, they played like one game last year as a unit. They're not very good anyway, but just putting it into context. So I think the Giants, you know, they've invested a lot of capital in the offensive line, but it hasn't worked out really.
Right.
Right. They got Neal, but he looks like to be a bust from Alabama. And then Andrew Thomas, you don't know what you're going to get with Buddy. I mean, sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad. I mean, you don't really know what you're getting with him. They have no wide receivers, though, this team.
Yep.
They got a bunch of, like, threes and fours, right? They got Slayton. They got Wandale Robinson. They got Isaiah Hodgins. None of those guys are number ones.
Yep.
So, to me, this pick is Neighbors. I think they're going to take Neighbors. They're gonna ride it out one more year with Daniel Jones, so they're going to try to get him as much help as possible, I think. So, I think this is a Malik Neighbors here.
Yeah, I think they're done. I think there's no way they bring Daniel Jones back. Even though they just paid him, which didn't make sense to me.
But he's going to play. They're going to stick it out this year, I think.
I think they'll try and move him. But if they don't, then I think it has to be a wide receiver. And they'll go with Neighbors.
Yeah, I think it's Neighbors. The Giants are going to suck next year. This team's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
They're going to be like one. They're going to be fighting for a top five pick next year for sure.
Yeah, because Brian Daboll, the head coach, you know, Daniel Jones is not his guy. He didn't draft Daniel Jones. You know, he inherited Daniel Jones, and somehow they made the playoffs his first year there as the head coach. But
they made a huge mistake signing him. Huge mistake.
It was a big mistake.
Big mistake.
Honestly, I don't even think that was Daboll that wanted that. I think the front office jumped the gun a little bit. So, yeah.
All right. So we think that pick is Neighbors. So the next pick, number 7, Tennessee Titans. To me, this is going to be Joe Alt, 100%. They just drafted rookie quarterback last year, right? What's buddy's name? The Kentucky guy?
Will Levis.
Will Levis. They just drafted Will Levis. They just got Calvin Ridley. They got DeAndre Hopkins. You know, they lost Derrick Henry, but they got Tony Pollard, and Tajae Sharp was a beast last year as a rookie. So they got weapons around Will Levis. So now they need to bolster the offensive line. They had one of the worst lines last year. This pick is easily Joe Alt, 100%. I don't see them going any other way.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless he's taken off the board, but I don't see. If Joe Alt is there, there's no way this is not Joe Alt.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Joe Alt will be off the board. I mean, I already predicted him going to the Chargers at 5, I think it was. But I think either way, it's a lineman. It's going to be Joe Alt. It's going to be...
You got the Oregon State guy, and then you got the Penn State guy, Oli, I'm going to butcher his name, Fashanu, the Penn State guy, and then there's a Oregon State guy.
Tackles,
yeah. So they're taking a tackle 100%. I don't see them not taking offensive linemen here.
Yeah, you have to. They got a lot of holes on that team. But they got to start with protecting Will Levis.
Yep. So moving on, 8th pick, Atlanta Falcons. They had one of the worst D lines last year and getting pressure to the quarterback. So they're going to take the best defensive end in the draft, Dallas Turner from Alabama. Everybody in the mocks has them taking this guy, and they've even hyped this guy up. So the Falcons have all their scouts. So I think they're taking the D lineman, the best DN in the draft, Dallas Turner.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Atlanta's in a good spot here. They might even be able to get Dallas Turner a little bit later. So maybe they could trade the pick, but if they don't, they're going to go defense. I mean, they just signed Kirk Cousins. They got Kyle Pitts, Bijan, Drake London. So
yeah,
offensive line's good.
And they just signed a couple receivers too. They got Mooney, and they signed somebody else also. So, I mean, yeah.
Offense is ready to go.
They're not going offense. Their O-line's pretty good too. They got Lundstrom leading the way, one of the best run-blocking O-lines in the game. So, I mean, they got a top 10 offensive line. They got their quarterback. They have weapons. They're going defense here, 100%.
For sure.
Yeah, there's no way. So, the next pick, Chicago, they got the 9th pick. If I'm the Bears and you take Caleb Williams, they gave up the 5th most sacks last year. They gave up 50 sacks last year. That was, I think, number 4 or 5 in the league last year. I think it was 5. So if you're taking a franchise quarterback in Caleb Williams and you signed all the skill position pieces in the offseason, this has to be an offensive lineman. I mean, I would be shocked if they go defense here, but to me, if you draft generational quarterback, you got the skill position, you got Keenan Allen, you got DJ Moore, you got DeAndre Swift, you got Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson, Cole Kmet, you got all these targets for him. You got to protect Caleb. So to me, this pick is Olu Fashanu, the left tackle from Penn State. A lot of people think this guy has the most upside in the entire draft. A lot of people have been comparing him to Trent Williams, this guy. I mean, he's a freaking beast, 6'6", huge. So Joe Alt's a little more polished. A lot of people say this guy's got the most potential in the entire draft. You know, and the Bears, they drafted a lineman last year, and they put him at right tackle. So now you need to draft a left tackle.
I agree.
You gave up 50 sacks last year. I mean, that's what I would do. But, you know, the Bears, I could see them fucking this pick up and going, like, defense or something like that. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Bears kind of built the defense on the fly last year. Yep. And, they traded for Montez Sweat at the deadline, got him from the Commanders. Commanders traded Chase Young, too, dumped a bunch of money off the books.
And they got a top corner, too. So,
yeah, they got Jalen Johnson. They signed Kevin Byard. Tremaine Edmonds brought him over from Buffalo the year before.
If you give up the fifth most sacks in the NFL and you draft the number one quarterback in the draft, you got to go tackle here, right? Like, yeah, to protect him?
It's got
to
be a left tackle. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, if Joe Alt, I don't think there's no way Joe Alt slides to nine. So I'm not going to butcher his name, but we'll go with the Penn State guy as well.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a beast, massive too, huge. So yeah.
I think I've seen him play.
I think they pick him here, honestly.
When you watch, I'm not even trying to say his name, but when you watch this guy play, I remember watching him like 2 years ago. He just like pops on the screen. You're like, damn, that guy, he looked like a starting left tackle
in the NFL.
NFL when he was playing in college.
Guy's freaking huge, bro. Massive.
Yep.
So that's where they should go, but it's Chicago. Who knows what this team does? Poverty franchise. Who knows?
Yep.
Next pick, New York Jets to round out the top 10. I think the Jets are going to go Brock Bowers here. NFL ready tight end. One of the best tight end prospects of all time. He's polished, played on Georgia, which is like an NFL team. The Jets don't really have a tight end. You know, you bring Bowers in. He's like another receiver. Get more weapons for Aaron Rodgers. You know, they signed Tyron Smith, so they bolstered up the line a little bit. You know, they signed Mike Williams. They have Garrett Wilson. Now you need that extra tight end piece. Aaron Rodgers likes the tight end. Draft Brock Bowers, one of the best tight ends, you know, of all time prospect, right? So I think they're going to go Brock Bowers here, honestly.
I think they need to go a different route. I think Brock Bowers obviously is the flashier pick because, you know, you got Aaron Rodgers. You want more weapons for him to throw to.
I feel like they need more weapons for him, though.
I mean, they just signed Mike Williams, injury prone, Garrett Wilson.
You
Breece
can't
Hall.
Rely on that, Mike Williams, you know?
Yeah. Got solid tight end play from a couple tight ends last year. I'm forgetting their names. The guy they brought over from
Ozama, they don't have anymore. They have Conklin. But, I mean, he's not a starting tight end, bro. Like,
yeah. But
he's a good backup, like a good guy you put in the run game, you know? He's not. I wouldn't feel comfortable going in with that as my starting tight end.
No, I don't love it, but at the same time, you have to protect Aaron Rodgers. So I think they have to go line here. Aaron Rodgers didn't make it through one half of the season last year.
They did sign Tyron Smith, though. It's a good signing, Tyron Smith.
That is a good signing, but Tyron Smith hasn't been healthy for a full season, you know, in probably, what, at least 3 to 4 years, maybe longer than that.
Yep.
So that, as good as Tyron Smith is, he's a Hall of Famer, but he's not. You know, he's probably not going to make it through the season. So if I'm the Jets, I'm going with a tackle, maybe like a CJ Latham, you know, out of Alabama.
Yep. Or the Oregon, like the Oregon State guys. He's pretty high up there too. And they got him as a top three guy. He's got a weird name too, but yeah, I mean, they're rocking with Tyron Smith right now, left tackle, John Simpson, Joe Tippmann, Elijah Veratucka, Morgan Moses. I mean, it's okay. I mean, their line struggled last year, but I do think they need a little bit more weapons for Rodgers. But, you know, the Jets have had a low-key good offseason, man. That's not good for us Dolphin fans. You know, they signed Javon Kinlaw. They got Hassan Reddick from the Eagles in a trade. That's crazy. And they have Quinn and Williams, so their D-line is massively stacked now. And they got Quincy Williams, CJ Mosley, Sauce, Reader. I mean, the defense is pretty legit, honestly. So I think they need a little bit more pieces on offense. But regardless if they go tight end or tackle, this should be an offensive pick for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, 100%. Do you want to round out the rest of the draft or we're good with top 10?
I think top 10's good.
Yeah, I think we're good with top 10. I mean, you know, we can just do 11. Let's finish with 11. So 11 is Minnesota. They're going quarterback 100%. So to me, this is either J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, or Michael Penix, 100%.
Yeah, I don't think Drake May makes it to 11. I think he's top three.
Yeah, well, you know, McCown is the coordinator there now, and he coached May in high school. So a lot of people are speculating that Minnesota wants May.
They're going to trade up and try and get
him? Yeah, I think Minnesota is going to try to trade up in a draft. A good suitor is obviously the Chargers. I don't see the Commanders or the Patriots giving that pick up. They want a top three quarterback pick. So I think the highest they can move up to is four, maybe the Cardinals.
Yep.
Or the Chargers, but I think Minnesota is going to come away with either May, McCarthy, or Penix, 100%.
I agree with that. And let's do Denver, too, man, because Denver just got rid of Russell Wilson. Pretty interesting.
And Denver, too, yeah. This could be Penix.
Yeah.
Denver.
I agree. I think Penix has to go here. And it's interesting that Las Vegas is there and New Orleans is there, too, because they don't really have their quarterback for the future either.
Well, I think New Orleans is screwed with Derek Carr.
Yeah.
I think they're...
They're in a bad situation, for sure.
They're fucked with that pick. They just gave him, like, 100 mil.
Yeah.
You want one? Yeah, sure. Yeah, man. So, I don't see... I think they're going to rock it out with Derek Carr another year. But the Raiders... Yeah, you know, the Raiders could be in contention, too, to move up. I mean, you know, they signed... Gardner Minshew, but that's not going to get it
done. He's a bridge guy.
Yeah, he's a bridge. He'll start this year, and then they're going to get somebody else next year, right? So
yeah, because I'm looking at Bleacher Reports. Actually, this might be Mel Kiper's list. I don't know, but I'm looking at the quarterbacks, man, and Penix is at five. They have JJ at four.
Yep.
And then you got Bo Nix at six, who has a ton of experience.
I don't see Bo Nix going in the first round, do you?
I don't know. That's what I was going to ask you is like,
there's
how,
no
how
way
many quarterbacks go in the first round.
There's no way Bo Nix should go over Michael Penix, bro. That would be an absolute travesty.
Yeah, no, that ain't happening.
The GMs have no fucking idea what they're doing. Even if Mel Kiper's got Bo Nix ahead of Michael Penix,
that guy
misses all the time. He's a dumbass. So
he doesn't have him. But I think there's a lot of desperate teams this year, and I think this is a deep quarterback class. So I could honestly see. I don't know if Bo Nix goes in the first round, but it's possible. I could even see a Spencer Rattler going in the first round.
No. Spencer Rattler? Hell no.
They got a Michael Pratt here from Tulane. I'm not very familiar with his game.
Where's Joe Milton on that list?
Joe Milton's number 10.
I like Joe Milton, bro. That guy's got he's got the best arm in the draft. That guy's got a bazooka arm, bro.
Did you see his pro day at Tennessee was indoors, and they had to move it outdoors because his balls were like hitting the ceiling.
Yeah, that guy's got a cannon. He had the highest clocked speed. Now they at the combine they gun it with the speed, how fast he can throw the football. This guy's got the best arm in the draft. You're talking bazooka. I mean, that guy's got a cannon.
Yeah, him at Tennessee was must watch TV.
He's got that Jamarcus Russell arm.
Yeah, and that man, that style of offense, I love that style, man. I can't believe I'm forgetting the head coach at Tennessee's name, but that he used to coach at UCF. They would just no huddle, 2-minute drill like the entire game.
I would take him over. I would take him over Rattler. There's no way. Just with an arm like that, bro. Yeah. You just roll the dice on that. And
like I was saying earlier, it was crazy because when Rattler was at Oklahoma, he was the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy winner, and Caleb Williams stole the job from him.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was like the number one player coming out of high school.
Yeah. And they got Joe Milton at 10, and then you got Jordan Travis at Florida State, who I think can be a solid NFL starter. Maybe not a franchise guy, but I think it's a deep class, man. I could honestly see like 6 to 7 quarterbacks going in the first round.
I think it cuts off at Michael Penix. I don't see any of those other guys going in the first round. Maybe Bo Nix. Maybe Bo Nix, but I don't think so, man. I think he's going like early second. I don't see him going in the first round.
I could see a team swinging for the fences and just taking Joe Milton in the first round.
Nah, no way.
We've seen worse before.
I remember the Bills did some shit like that with EJ Manuel like a long time ago. I'm like, God.
That's what I'm saying.
They paid for that though, big time.
Oh, yeah. That set them back, what, 10 years, 15 years?
Yeah, for sure.
We've seen worse.
Yes, we have. But let's move on to our second topic, right? So our second topic, we're going to talk about the NFL owners approved new kickoff rule and drastic overhaul, right? So check this out. Team owners on Tuesday approved a new rule that will take what essentially had become a dead play and make it an integral part of the game again. This is all fluff. So the major overhaul to special teams, right, which has been in the works for years, takes elements of the kickoff rules used in the XFL and tweaks them for use in the NFL beginning in 2024. The rule will be in play for one season on a trial basis and then be subject to renewal in 2025. So the NFL is concerned with safety, so they're changing the kickoff rules, right? So for a standard kickoff, right, the ball would be kicked from the 35-yard line with the 10 kick coverage players lined up at the opposing 40 with five on each side of the field. The return team would have at least nine blockers lined up in the setup zone. So now they have a setup zone. This is very complicated, right? Between the 30 and 35-yard line with at least seven of those players touching the 35-yard line. There would be up to two returners allowed inside the 20. Only the kicker and two returners would be allowed to move until the ball hits the ground or was touched by a returner inside the 20. Any kick that reaches the end zone in the air can be returned, right? Or the receiving team can opt for a touchback and possess, and the possession would take place at the 30-yard line. So now they're putting it at the 30-yard line if you kick it in the end zone, right? Any kick that reaches the end zone in the air and goes out of bounds, though, right, would also result in a touchback and go into the 30-yard line. If a ball hits a returner or the ground before the end zone and goes into the end zone, a touchback would be at the 20-yard line. This is all very confusing. Yeah. The NFL is trying to, like, mindfuck everybody here. So under the current rules, any touchback or if a returner calls for a fair catch in the field of play results the receiving team getting the ball at the 25-yard line. So if you call a fair catch in the field of play, you get the ball at the 25-yard line. If the ball goes out of the end zone, then you get it at the 30-yard line. This is so confusing, right?
Yep.
So basically, they're saying this is our chance to keep special teams in the game. NFL Competition Committee Rich McKay said Monday, calling the current kickoff now a dead play. Special teams has been part of the game forever, and if you lose the kickoff, in our mind, you pretty much are eliminating special teams, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so you need 24 out of 32 votes to pass, and I think they got 29 votes, right? But Pat McAfee explains this pretty well, so I'm going to pull him up, and we can watch McAfee explain this. So this is Pat McAfee explaining the new rule.
35, okay? Kicker is all by himself here on the 35, if you will. Okay, that's a K. The other guys on the kickoff team are lined up on the plus 40, okay, just like we seen in the XFL where the kickoff crew is further down the field to eliminate a 25-yard head start that they saw as one of the main reasons of why these injuries keep taking place on the kickoff play. So you have the other 10 people who are covering the kick on the 40-yard line. Now, similar rules to the pass on where people can line up. Two people have to be outside the numbers, two people in the alley. Then you can have one in between the hash marks. And on the other side, you have the same exact rule where, yeah, well, there's other two you get it are outside the numbers. So this is the same rules we have now. All feet have to be on, or 1 foot has to be on the 40-yard line. So then the kickoff return team now, we're talking to ourselves. Well, where are they going to be? Well, they're going to be in the setup zone, which is the 35 to 30, which is obviously 5 yards away from the kickoff team. Six of the nine people have to be lined up on the line of the 35. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the return team have to be lined up there. And then three people can be floaters in the setup zone. But six of them have to have their line on, or their foot on the line of the 35, as the 10 people on the kickoff are all on the 40 here, okay?
Damn.
So this whole thing is to eliminate a run-up against each other. Well, what's the kicker going to do who's kicking off from the 35? Well, he has to land it in the landing zone here, okay, which is 20 to goal line, all right, where the other two people on the return team are lined up as returners, okay? The goal would be for the kicker to kick it and have it land in the landing zone, okay? And then you will have to return that, or I believe the fair catch is completely killed,
yep.
But I assume you could do that and take the ball. If you kick a touchback, ball comes out to the 35.
Ooh.
Okay? If you kick a ball that doesn't reach the landing zone, ball goes to the 40.
Wow.
Okay? Like, if you kick it out of bounds, ball goes to the 40. And they're expecting with this particular style of kick for there to be an 80 to 85% return rate because kickers have to make it land in the land zone or you give up field position of a 35-yard start for a touchback. If you don't kick it into the landing zone, it is a 40-yard field position start for the other team.
So that was Pat McAfee explaining the new kickoff rules. It's all very confusing, but basically the NFL is trying to eliminate concussions and they're getting into the player safety aspect. So it's pretty much like an offense and defensive lineman like going head up against each other and the kicker's, you know, back 20 yards and the returner's back 20 yards from the lineman.
Yep.
It's all for player safety, and also they want the kick returners to get more chances instead of the kickers just kicking it out of the end zone. I mean, what do you think about this rule, man? A lot of people have been, 50-50 on it, but I've seen a lot of criticism. So what are your thoughts on this new rule?
I don't love it. I'm not a fan of it. I think we're going to start seeing teams throw offensive linemen on the field, bigger guys to block. So that'll be interesting to see. You know, a lot of special teams guys are usually like backup linebackers, backup, defensive backs, stuff like that. So we'll see how that plays out. But I just think football has changed a lot since we, discovered it, watched it as a kid.
It's too much though, right?
Like, yeah. It's like, a little too much.
How's the average NFL fan supposed to get all of that,
Right.
I mean, we just watched a video and we just read an article on it and it's still confusing. So how's the average fan going to interpret this whole new rule? Like you can get the ball at the 30 and get the ball at the 40 and get the ball at the 25. It's like, what the hell,
Yeah. And then, if you're watching it with your wife or something, she's going to be like, well, why did that just happen? I was like, oh, that was a new rule that happened. And then you're sitting there explaining it.
Like, shit, I don't even know.
Yeah. So I don't love it, man, honestly.
I think it's ruining the game, bro, because they're emphasizing player safety so freaking much that eventually they're just going to turn the shit into flag football, bro. That's what I feel like.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to watch that. People want to watch the hits in the NFL. Like, nobody wants to watch flag football.
Yeah, football's changed dramatically, man. Even college, college football is not the same with the targeting. You go head to head and make a tackle, you get thrown out of the game and suspended the next game. And it's like, what even happened to the football that we know and love? But I think, like you said, player safety, they're trying to crack down on that. But, at the same time, football is a 100% injury rate. Like, there's no way you're going to avoid injury in football.
It's a dangerous sport, man. Yeah. Like, you have freaking grown men that run 4.4s and are like 250 pounds hitting each other, people are going to get hurt.
Yeah, I remember our old coach used to say, football is not a contact sport, it's a collision sport. You're like crashing into each other at full speed. So there's no way you'll avoid injury. And the players know that, man. They know what they signed up for. They're trying to provide for their families and feed their families. And part of that has to do with hard hits, putting on a show. Fans like to see the hard hits. We love to see the hard hits growing up as kids. So I feel like the kids nowadays are getting a different product than what we got. They don't know about the Ray Lewis hits. They don't know about, Polamalu and Ed Reed and those guys, taking people's heads off. It's just a different game.
It's just too much. They're like trying to do too much,
Yeah.
It's like you can do little things here and there like they've been doing. Like, I get it. But this is crazy. In my opinion.
Yep.
It's like now the kicker has to kick it in the setup zone and now you got like offense and defense alignment. It's just changing the whole dynamic of the game.
Right.
So I don't know how fans are going to react to it. I think it's going to piss a lot of fans off, honestly, because this is like an XFL thing. This is what they do in the XFL. And it's not the XFL, it's the NFL.
Right.
But apparently it has a higher, it's got a higher safety rate when they look at it. when they analyze the numbers, but I don't know, man. It's just a kickoff, bro. Like, it's not that deep, you know?
Yeah.
And I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to emphasize player safety. Like, I understand it from that aspect. You know, the intentions might be good, but is the juice worth the squeeze at the same time, you know? Or are you going to, like, water down the game so much where it's going to be unwatchable?
Yeah.
Or there's going to be no defense, and the game 10 years from now, if they keep changing it, it's going to look completely different.
Yeah, and they're already on that path with, you know, protecting quarterbacks. You can't even, like, tackle a quarterback from the legs anymore. If you, like, dive at his legs, it's like a 15-yard penalty.
Crazy. But let's transition into that, though, the third topic, right? So another rule the NFL is implementing is the NFL has banned hip drop tackles, right? And it's already a huge controversy. So the NFL has officially made the hip drop tackle illegal. The league announced last Monday that owners banned the hip drop tackle due to safety reasons during the NFL owners meeting in Orlando. The rule change came after NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations Troy Vincent discussed player safety and insisted that the hip drop tackle is something we want to get out of the game. The greatest asset for any athlete is durability and availability, Vincent said. According to ESPN, when you have to play that a 20 to 25 times injury rate, it doesn't allow you to fulfill your dreams. The NFL PA asked the league to reconsider implementing the rule and cited concern that it could make defenders' jobs more difficult and confuse players and cause difficulty among officiating in real time. The official rule is stated below per NFL.com, Article 18, hip drop tackle. It is a foul if a player uses the following technique to bring a runner to the ground. Grabs the runner with both hands and wraps the runner with both arms and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lowering his body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs or below the knees. Penalty for a hip drop tackle is a loss of 15 yards and an automatic first down, right? So I believe I have another video on this with Pat McAfee explaining this.
What the hell are we doing to football? I'm not alone. I'm very lucky to be alongside a great group of men. The Toxic Table is here at Boston Connor and at Ty Schmidt. Boys, they're saying football's changing.
Yeah, it feels like it is. And it's nice that everybody is coming out saying, hey, you're screwing the game over because
tackle has been banned. What is the hip drop tackle? Well, it actually comes from a different sport. Rugby actually teaches and has the hip drop tackle, I do believe, or maybe they banned it before everybody else. What is happening in the NFL now is when you're running next to a guy or behind a guy, you can't unweight yourself. Okay? You can't unweight yourself. They rolled this video at the NFL owners meetings to kind of describe what it was and what can happen. And obviously some of these tackles look terrible. This is what's going to happen when people are moving 13, 14, 18, 20 miles an hour and there are people being paid to tackle them on the defense side of the ball. That one looks like a standard tackle.
Right? Yeah.
That's just a standard tackle. He unweighted himself. Okay. So now refs are going to have to decide in real time, did he tackle that guy or did he unweight himself and land on the bottom half of his leg? What are we doing? We're setting the refs up to be put.
So you just heard Pat McAfee explain it. You saw a couple of highlights, examples of it. What are your thoughts?
I don't like it. I understand it because of all the injuries last year. I think the NFL should start with getting rid of turf. I think that's more important than getting rid of the hip drop tackle. I think we saw Mark Andrews, you know, thought he was going to be out for the year last year. When I think it was the Bengals, Trey Hendrickson or somebody from the D-line came and hip drop tackled him, landed on his leg. He was out for almost the whole year, came back in the last game of the season. But I don't love it. I understand it. But again, I don't see what is the defensive player to do, because
when a defensive player is running full speed at somebody and they have to tackle somebody, how are they going to like make that decision up in their mind in real time? To me, it's like you're like eliminating defense. Like, how is a defensive guy supposed to play defense anymore? You can't hit the quarterback. You can't hip drop tackle a freaking wide receiver running back anymore.
You can't even
How are they supposed to play defense? Like,
you can't even land on the quarterback. If you like tackle a quarterback and put all your body weight on them, That's a penalty.
Bro, think about it, right? They can't hit a quarterback hard anymore, right? They can't horse collar. They can't hit him in the head. They can't target. They can't hip drop tackle. How the fuck are they supposed to tackle these people? Like,
yeah, I think it sucks for the defense because now they're overthinking it, and now the defense is going to be put in a situation where not only they're going to get, you know, penalties and stuff like that, but now they're in situations where they're going to be in danger. Like, they're going to be at risk of getting hurt by, you know, overthinking it. And then that split second, next thing they know, they're put in a bad situation for trying to compensate for all these new rules.
Bro, Derrick Henry might rush for 3,000 yards next year, bro.
Yep.
How are you going to tackle Derrick Henry, bro? Can't tackle from behind. You can't hit him in the knees. You can't hit him in the head, bro. Like, what the this guy's going to run for like 5,000 yards next year.
Yep.
Crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, we're at the point now where it's like
it's flag football.
It almost is flag football. You might as well take the pads and the helmet off and just play flag.
It's so wild, man. They're watering down the game so much. Yep. Like, they're taking away what people love about the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? And these guys understand that the NFL players were pissed, man. Like, when you sign up for football, like, you know you're playing a dangerous sport.
Yep.
And if you don't want to play, you don't have to play it. Like, that's right. What I'm saying. So I don't understand what the NFL is doing here, man. I feel like they're ruining the game in some aspects, man. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they are watering down the game. I think the product has gotten worse over time. I think Tom Brady said it well, even though he's part of the problem with all his complaining. He's part of the reason why you can't hit quarterbacks. But he basically said, you know, you're punishing, you know, if a quarterback throws a bad pass and his receiver gets his head taken off, that's on the quarterback. He made that bad pass. He put his teammate in position to get his head taken off. You can't blame the defensive guy for making a great play and laying somebody out and then penalizing him for it because the quarterback threw that ball into tight coverage in the middle of the field. So I feel like the defense is just getting penalized again here. And at some point, I don't know if they go on strike or they have a players association meeting, but I think they want as much offense as possible, as much points as possible, because people like to see offense, but you have to walk that fine line of, you know, like, more points or quality of the game. So
yeah, the quality's going down for sure.
Yep.
Insane, man. But that's our three topics. Any final thoughts before we wrap this episode up?
No, I think we covered it pretty well. Excited for the draft in April. And
it's a month away.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Hope the Dolphins don't blow it this year.
Man, hopefully not. All right, guys, that'll do it for us. Make sure to follow us on our YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, at The Joe and Joey Show. We post daily shorts and clips on our YouTube channel, Instagram, and TikTok. Everybody, you guys have a good one. Take care.
Take care, guys. Stop us. Watch us. Yeah, we rockin' hot as Puerto Rico. We the wave. Go on and place your bets. Check the over-under. We the fade. Yeah. There's no debate. We the greatest, but we debating your favorites. Greater raising points of discussion. Then we push. Yeah. Feeling like Michael Jordan with the Bulls. Feeling like I'm about to rage. KG with the Timberwolves. I'm getting pulled in all kinds of directions. To the game. Yeah, you know that's the best one. So just watch or just listen to the guys. Tune in to the show. Joe and Joey on the ride. Yeah. So just watch or just listen to the guys. Tune in to the show. Joe and Joey on the ride.